Item number six. Item number six, funding award recommendation. Assess, blah, blah, blah.
Good afternoon. Item number six is a request for the board's approval of $19.2 million in jobs access and reverse commute federal funds for eight applications and $4.1 million in new freedom federal funds for 10 applications that were submitted. These applications all were ranked with a score of 60 points or higher. We received 28 applications submitted by 23 agencies, and they asked for a total of $50.2 million. And so we are asking not only for us to be allowed to forward a recommendation to the Federal Transit Administration to award federal funds to these applications and their projects, but to also approve some administrative actions that that we need to take and related to the awards.
I have a question. I don't know if anybody else does, but I just want to clarify that the reason that we did not award more funding is because the submissions didn't come up to the high enough level. Is that correct?
That's correct. We have, I believe it's
734 in jar.
Yes, $734,000 approximately for the jobs access and reverse commute program, and $4.6 million left over for the new freedom program, which will roll over for the next call that we have next year. I believe next year, right?
So I see that that's here in print, and I missed it. But thank you very much. Those are the questions I have. Okay. Are there other questions or comments about this item? Seconded. Any objections?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Seven. Transit-oriented development grant program.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Jenna Hornstack with planning. So we were directed to develop round two last October, so you have before you the recommended awards for round two of the grant. We offered $1 million to cities, COGS, and JPAs along three transit corridors, the West Santa Ana Branch, the South Bay Green Line Extension, and all LA County Metrolink stations. We received six applications requesting $1.39 million. One application did not demonstrate eligibility, but we were providing technical assistance to that city, and we expect them to reapply in round three. We are funding all five others. We had to reduce two due to limited funding, but we are also working with those applicants, and we think they'll be able to complete their full proposed scope. Upon a board approval, we will immediately send out the grant agreements and related documents. The awardees will have 60 days to execute and 24 months to finalize the work. We were also directed to develop round three for $10 million, and we did outreach to the COGS, JPAs, and cities. We found that the round two guidelines were sufficient to address some of the ideas that these cities had, so we're not proposing any changes to the guidelines. We are, however, asking to make some changes to the lapsing policy that would apply to round two and three. They're really technical changes based on feedback we got from the round one recipients. So upon board approval of this revised lapsing policy, we will immediately release round three. We expect that next Friday. They'll have about 6 weeks to respond, and we intend to bring those recommendations to the board next October.
Thank you. Are there any comments or questions from the directors before we go to public hearing?
This amendment is for the amendments for this item?
Yes.
7C.
The amendment is for 7C, and I'll introduce it once we get through with this. Okay. Guess now's a good time to introduce it before we go to public hearing, public comment. I've been asked to introduce motion by O'Connor and Kanabe. Go ahead. And I will read it because I suspect you don't have a copy of it, and it's hot off the press. The MTA Board of Directors previously approved the third round of the transit-oriented development planning grant, authorizing $10 million in eligible funds to the following transit corridors: Blue Line, Green Line extension to LAX, LA County Metrolink stations, Silver Line, Artesia Transit Center, and other transit stations, including the West Side Subway extension, West Santa Ana branch. The South Bay Green Line extension was included in round two, along with LA County Metrolink stations and the West Santa Ana branch. Notwithstanding that previous inclusion, the South Bay Green Line extension impacts eight cities and county unincorporated communities that are in further need of planning funds to create regulatory changes that support TOD along the transitway and stakeholding cities in the immediate impacted vicinity. A study from the FTA suggests that the most direct benefit of TOD in joint development is increased ridership in the overall transit system. It's therefore moved that the MTA Board of Directors direct the CEO to include the entire Green Line corridor as an eligible corridor in round three of the TOD planning grant. And I have a friendly amendment to that motion that I would like to make. That is that Metro staff may negotiate grant reimbursements from quarterly schedule to a bi-monthly schedule in order to assist grantee jurisdictions with cash flow issues. I understand that quarterly doesn't work for some of the folks. So
do you accept your friendly amendment?
I do.
Okay.
You know, you can just do most anything here.
I'll move it.
Thank you.
I'll move it with both amendments, both with the proposed and with the friendly.
Okay. Thank you. I have three folks that would like to speak, and I'd like to allow them to speak before we vote on the motion. So first is Andy Molina from the City of Huntington Park. Mayor Molina.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Molina. I'm the mayor of the City of Huntington Park. And also a board member of Orange Line Development Authority, OLDA. I'm here to thank the committee for considering the staff recommendations to award TOD funds to OLDA. Our city, Huntington Park, is one of the 11 cities that will benefit from this TOD grant. This is a very important step for our communities, along with the West Side Santa Ana Branch alternative analysis that will be finished very soon. And this will make it a real project. Again, thank you very much for this opportunity to address the committee and for all the help provided by Jana Hornstack and the MTA staff. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Frank Quintero to be followed by Dan Fager.
Not again, Mr. Quintero.
Again.
Councilman,
how are you? Don't cut into my time. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and member of the committee.
Good to see you, sir.
My name is Frank Quintero. I'm pleased to be here today in my capacity as Mayor of Glendale, member of the Bob Hope Airport Authority Board, and Chair of the Orange Line Development Authority. We greatly value the close working relationship with you and the Metro staff members on a number of key projects and programs. The airport and Metro have been working closely on development of a new Metrolink station at Hollywood Way, and it's been initiated by Supervisor Antonovich and my colleague Arun Najarian. Currently, the airport serves the Ventura Line Metrolink and Amtrak service. However, we are also interested in the opportunity to complement this existing service with the development of a Metrolink station along the Antelope Valley Metrolink line. On Monday, the Airport Authority voted to commit up to $1.75 million to help make the station a reality. Thank you very much, Mr. Leahy and the committee members.
And thank you, right on time. Mr. Fager?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I appreciate the opportunity to join you this afternoon. As Mayor Quintero stated, the Airport Authority and Metro have developed a true partnership to support our ongoing ground access program. Let me reinforce the mayor's comments that we greatly appreciate the staff recommendation to award to the City of Burbank and Airport a joint TOD planning grant. The award comes at a very important time when we are aggressively reaching out to the community in an effort to establish a comprehensive planning framework for our future. We believe enhanced public transit is an essential part of the airport's future, and we believe that a compatible TOD planning program with a joint effort to develop and construct a new Metrolink station along the Antelope Valley Line and Hollywood Way also is important for our future. We have been in constant communication with Don Sepulveda and his consultant team to transform the station from a concept to a real project serving real passenger demand. We greatly appreciate Don's can-do attitude. We share the committee members' sense of opportunity and urgency. It's time now to start building this new station.
Thank you.
The airport is very hopeful that the financial commitment referenced by the mayor and outlined in the letter to Mr. Leahy will jumpstart finalization plans to move into a station construction phase within the next 6 to 8 months.
Thank you.
In addition to these efforts?
Your time. I'm sorry.
I'm time? Okay, thank you.
If I could, Madam Chair, I do just want to add that the airport's been very cooperative working with Metrolink and also with MTA about improving all our connectivity out there. We'd be, wearing a Metrolink side, we're more than happy to replace, that's not really fair to call that a station because it's like an awning with tracks under it at this point, but we're looking forward to enhancing that. I know MTA and Metrolink have increased service in that area and, you know, appreciate the airport's cooperation and the joint effort on that. So I just wanted to thank them for taking a regional approach to what we're all trying to do out there. So.
Good. Thank you. You have before you a motion. I have the motion and the second, and along with the friendly motion. Any objections? If not, the motion passes. Looking for approval of the funding recommendation and revised lapsing policy. Second?
Second.
Objections? So ordered. See, that was easy.
Item number 8.
Proposition 1B, State and Local Partnership Program Funds.
Good afternoon, members of the board. I'm David Yale, Executive Officer for Countywide Planning and Development, and I'd like to introduce Patricia Chen, Transportation Planning Manager, who will present this item.
Good afternoon, directors. We are recommending a series of reprogramming actions this afternoon to preserve state Prop 1B state and local partnership program funds and backfill for unavailable traffic congestion relief program funds. We recommend reprogramming $32.5 million in SLPP project savings from the Canoga project. They would be swapped so that they would indirectly, and the end result would be programming to the East San Fernando Valley North-South project. We are recommending that the funds would be swapped through the Transit Buses Acquisition Project. It is difficult to find projects that can take the SLPP funds because they require a 50-50 match, and they are only eligible to be used for acquisition or construction. This project does qualify and is going forward very soon, and so it is a good project for that. We also recommend reprogramming $29.1 million in Prop C 25 funds directly from the Canoga project to the East San Fernando Valley North-South project. And finally, there would be a minor exchange because there are also SLPP funds that are in the East San Fernando Valley North-South project. Since that project is not likely to go forward in time for the statutory deadline of that project, we would swap those out, and a like amount of project funds would come back into that project.
I'm sorry. Can you go run that last part by me again, please?
Well, let me maybe go into the issue, and it kind of explains why we're needing to do these actions. Would that help?
Your call.
Okay, thank you. The state has been unable to secure tribal gaming bonds, which means that $89.9 million in TCRP funds are no longer available for the East San Fernando Valley North-South project. And then at the same time, the state statutes that are authorizing the SLPP funds are going to expire on June 2013. And so what we'd like to do is move the SLPP funds out of the Canoga project. As it happens, there are project savings. So we would like to move them to the transit buses project. Go ahead.
Thank you. Why are we – I understand the timing, and I understand – if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm not remembering it accurately, at one point the state claimed they had negotiated a deal with the tribes for $100 million as part of one of their budget settlements a bunch of years ago in exchange for, you know, 4 million additional slot machines or something like that. Is that the pot of money that somehow never materialized?
Yeah, the state was to borrow against that $100 million per year to come up with about $1 billion, and none of that ever happened.
Tribes didn't have any money? The casinos were falling apart? You don't know the answer to that, David. I'm just... It's always amazing. But what I guess the question I have is, if it was state funding that was the commitment, why we're doing local funds now instead of getting state, you know, well, is the state walking away from their commitment? Is that what's happening? They said, sorry, we didn't figure out how to collect the money from the starving casinos, so therefore you don't get the money for your transit project?
The state is essentially walking away from this commitment. And we view these projects as joined at the hip, if you will. They originated as one project and then split. So if one of them has a savings, it stands to reason that those savings ought to be made available for the other project. Well, essentially one corridor.
I guess the part I'm uncomfortable with, David, is, you know, this was – there were state dollars that were committed to it. We don't have tons of local dollars, so we have apparently more than the state does. But – you know, why I don't like the idea of letting them off the hook for money, because frankly, I think, you know, it's you know, the Orange Line coming in, you know, on time under budget is huge, obviously, but you know, it's equally valid to consider. The North South stuff is critically important in the valley. I remember when we put that together. I know why we put that together. It's the area I used to represent. But the other piece of the Orange Line that needs to be done is to connect it into the media center in Burbank and complete that connection on through to the airport, which has a lot of value for connectivity, the regional nature, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that $61 million would have covered that, so I doubt it, but it would have been a good down payment had we not now have to backfill the state, mm-hmm. which is the part that is bothering me over here. So we don't get north-south and use the 61 to expand. We're using the 61 to cover what they promised they'd do.
Right.
Where's Mike Miles?
If the TCRP commitment were to be re-upped by the state and again made whole, that would free up this money for the board to determine what to do with it.
But the odds of that happening in this fiscal year are sort of slim and none, I assume, unless
they
get another commitment from the tribes.
They're very slim going forward at all, because what the state did is there was a Prop 1A guarantee for the first tier of TCRP, and they took care of most of the heavy hitters in the program with those funds. And now this second tier of projects that wasn't ready to go at the time has kind of drifted and doesn't have a lot of political charge behind it to get it done.
Yeah.
So it's not likely it'll ever appear.
So this is the only way we really get it done, basically.
Yeah.
It's either this or forget the program, it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Well, this is a Measure R project, and so one of the things
right.
guiding us was we thought we'd want to complete.
I get that. All right, thanks.
Any other questions or comments? Supervisor?
when we passed the long-range plan, we indicated there was a motion passed by Supervisor Ridley Thomas and John Fasano and myself that all new monies that were to be had were to go to the Crenshaw and Orange Lines. Why are we deviating from that policy?
I believe, first of all, it was Crenshaw and the Gold Line Foothill. And I think where we differ on this point is that these are not new funds because of the state shortfall. But that's really a decision of the board, ultimately. That's our recommendation, is this not be viewed as new funding.
This is, and all savings were to be used as identified in that motion for those two priorities.
The board can look at this in two different ways. One is the way the staff has recommended, where these are not new funds because there's a shortfall on one part of the corridor, and so savings on another part of the corridor should be used on the other part of the corridor. That's where we've come down in our staff recommendation. The other view is, just as you've suggested, that we could take the money and use it as a first priority per the long-range plan.
Kind of like saying what's in the preamble is really not what you're going to be receiving. It's what's in the fine print in other pages.
Well, in other instances, this corridor envelope has guided us. For example, if there's going to be savings on the Crenshaw project, we have decided to use those to add the Leimert station back in the Gold Line project. If there are savings on the Gold Line Foothill project, we're going to use those for Phase 2B. And we believe the same policy envelope covers the San Fernando Valley projects here. But we recognize the board could make a different decision about that.
Can I just ask a question? These are Measure R funds, are they not?
No.
Which funds are these?
These are Prop 1B state and local partnership program funds.
But there are Measure R funds on the Orange Line extension, isn't there?
Yes. Both parts of it, the Canoga part and the East San Fernando North South part.
Right, but the savings, the overall savings. I mean, why wouldn't you say that? Why do you say that it's Prop 1B funds?
The Canoga project has...
It's all how you attribute it.
The Canoga project also has savings in the Measure R program that are to be disposed of or decided about in the third decade. In the long-range plan, those savings were recognized as a sub-regional equity piece that had to be reprogrammed later in the plan. This deals with other savings that were in the project budget, which was at $1.221 million, and now the cost to complete is understood to be $154 million. The savings being kicked out here are not Measure R savings.
Yeah, but the principle is the same. The principle is the same.
Yeah, we believe the principle is the same in the long-range plan, that these projects are one corridor and that the savings ought to be made.
And you're treating these savings the same as you're treating savings that may occur in other corridors, correct?
That's the staff recommendation, correct.
So if there were savings on Crenshaw or on the Pasadena Gold Line, Foothill Gold Line, you would not recommend that those go to funding the north-south busway in the San Fernando Valley.
That's correct. In fact, in the case of both of those, I believe there's a board action to that effect.
Right. And I'm surprised that anybody would suggest that we take savings from the San Fernando Valley project, which would be used to expand the San Fernando Valley transit network, and to use it in another part of the county. And I think we just gave a speech the other day, Mike, about how the valley was getting screwed. I'm not sure you'd want to do that.
Let me read the motion. The long-range transportation plan that governs funding decisions by the MTA board, incorporated amendment by directors Mark Ridley Thomas, John Fasana, and myself to pursue, and I will quote, as a first priority, other potential funding sources excluding federal New Starts, quote, to close funding gaps on both the Gold Line Foothill Extension and the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor. The Foothill Extension would require an additional $764 million to complete the line to Claremont. Although the line can be extended station by station, should incremental funding be required, the Crenshaw LAX projects potentially has up to $100 million in a funding gap for Leimert Park Station should project cost savings not cover this total amount. The funds fed from this or freed up from this cost savings on the Orange Line extension qualify as new funding that should be diverted to these two projects per the long-range transportation plan adopted in 2009. Preserving the consensus generated by the 2009 long-range transportation plan supports our federal New Starts priorities will be ensured by putting this new funding on the above two projects. So I'd move that the board direct the CEO to program the $61.6 million in project savings for the Orange Line Canoga extension into one or both of the two projects, priority projects, the Foothill Extension and the Crenshaw LAX project as identified by the 2009 long-range transportation plan policy approved by unanimously by the MTA board, and also move that the board direct the CEO to return within 30 days with a plan to assist Bob Hope's airport's request to cover the $1.75 million committed to the new airport Metrolink station on the Antelope Valley line.
Motion, is there a second? Motion fails for lack of second. Are there any other questions and comments for the staff? Okay, just
the staff recommendation.
Moved and seconded. Any objections?
Object.
Oh, and three yes, apparently. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 9 has been pulled. So we'll...
I'm not sure. In fact, I was just looking over. Someone was there, but I don't know why it was pulled. Sorry. I'll get you an answer.
Okay. Before we're done with the meeting?
Sure.
There's a tap thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm Brad McAllister, Executive Officer of Long Range Planning. I'm here with Martha Butler of my staff. Item 10, we're seeking your approval to add the Venice Metro Rapid to the board-approved Metro Rapid program, and to allow existing Metro Rapid expansion program funds to be used for capital improvements. Basically, we have an opportunity to use an existing very small START grant to do a funding swap. We have a grant that funded the last 7 or 8 lines to do signal priority work on those Metro Rapid lines. Two of those lines were discontinued several years ago for lack of ridership. And we're recommending that we use that freed up money to put signal priority on the Venice line. The Venice line was opened after our program, so it wasn't really part of the program and doesn't currently have signal priority. So it's a kind of a no-cost funding swap. FTA has approved this substitution as part of their grant, and LADOT is ready to start as early as next month if the board approves. So basically, we're asking you to approve adding the Venice Metro Rapid to the program since it wasn't originally part of it, and allowing us to use our existing very small START grant to put single priority on the line, which it currently doesn't have.
Okay. Will the line be impacted by the Expo?
No, it won't. It's currently running, but it's just running without the signal priority. So this will actually speed up the service and probably make everything work a little bit better, you know, between bus and rail. So,
any questions or comments? I have a recommendation. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Any objections? So ordered. It's on Highway Programs, Planning, and Deliverable Bench.
Yes, Madam Chair. This is an item related to the 710 South project. We have let a series of contracts to consultants to do utility studies. It's been paying off well for us within that corridor. This is a contract to bring on staff to help us manage the two, most notably the Central and North contract. It's a recommendation to award a contract to Axiom and Axiom Engineering and Science Corporation for $387,120 for professional services for management and quality control on those contracts. Also to give us authority to execute some contract modifications, usual amount up to not to exceed 15%. There's a second part to this that I want to explain. For most of these professional services contracts, the CEO has authority to award up to $500,000. When this contract was originally set up, it was set up with a maximum of $250,000 on the CEO's authority, and above that, we have to come to the board for approval. That's why we're bringing you this one today. So the second piece of this item C, we're actually asking the board to delegate to the CEO authority within this one bench to go up to $500,000, similar to other bench and professional services contracts, so we don't have to bring you the small stuff. In essence, what we're doing.
Questions or comments? So I'm not going to make an assumption here. Are all the other benches up to 500 and this is the only one that's not?
Yes, ma'am. To my knowledge, everything else, the CEO has delegated authority up to 500,000, everything I'm aware of.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Move it.
Moved. Seconded. Objections? So ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 12.
Item number 12 is the monthly report on the status of highway projects. Let me find it here. Here we go. And slideshow.
Thank you.
And we have begun doing this at planning and program on the highway side. If those of you that have been in construction in the past are aware that the transit projects are generally covered at the construction committee. The beginning slide this time is to make you aware, as we've discussed, about the highway goods movement package. What we have done is created a P3 opportunity out of a bundle of highway projects that are primarily measure funded, Measure R, Prop C, other types of funding that's primarily within Metro's control. These projects are scheduled generally out in the second and third decade, post 2025 and beyond 2023, 2025. We see this as an opportunity using P3 to bring these projects and begin construction on them as early as next year. So we brought this forward to you. We're developing the business case. You'll hear more from us about that earlier, but we're beginning to track this project as well on the highway program. These are the projects in general within the highway program. Overall, we're making progress individually on all projects. Well, there's been no great changes in any of the schedules that are before you. Of importance, I would note on the next page, which is the I-710 South project, the public-private partnership. The draft environmental document for that is scheduled for circulation next week, Friday. So that will be out hitting the streets. We have been out doing briefings at an elected level and a local official level to make people, the general people, aware of what's within that project in advance of it hitting the ground and people beginning to make questions. So we're out doing that now. Overall, our projects are generally proceeding ahead well. I'll flip to a couple here where I have some issues I want to highlight. One here is the I-5 North capacity enhancements from SR 134 to 118. We show the budget on schedule. We recently received our allocation on that one. We're showing a possible problem in the schedule, not that there's a problem with the schedule as is being implemented, but that does have CMIA funding associated with that project. It must be awarded before December of this year, so we're going to track that as a possible problem until we have it awarded and that issue, that constraint is cleared. So with that, ma'am, in the interest of the board's time, I'll see if there's any questions on specific projects, and we're happy to handle those.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, this is receive and file. And that shall be the order. Back up. Thank you. Dr. Tom Williams, I apologize. I missed a month. I'm not up to date here.
Good afternoon. Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council Board Member. Also very interested for the last 30 years in the SR 710 North Extension, as it's sometimes called. I would like to point out that the schedule is, might say, incorrect, at least for the State Route 710, because the EIR process supposedly started quite a while ago, but it's only indicated to come sometime in about 2 months from now. So there's some problems. Why, for presentation, are there such errors? There's also a matter that all of the elements are conditional as to the risks. The risks for State Route 710, I-710 South, and maybe even the High Desert Corridor are considerable. And those basically repeat everything that's for the SR-710, for the I-710, and perhaps even for the High Desert Corridor.
Thank you.
As they are segments
Thank
of the
you.
Same project.
Now we will receive and file. An analysis.
Is that you?
Good afternoon, members. This is by way of an interim report on both progress and a summary of what we've done so far on the P3 program. I have given you, unfortunately, probably too much material. But we did want to make it available such that people could actually look at the business cases and things that we've been doing. Just by way of brief reminder, the public-private partnership is really a support service. It supports the projects proper. It's an accelerated delivery system if it works correctly and if it's a suitable case. And it also is a vehicle, I believe, it's very important for risk allocation and risk sharing. You recall that we're trying to figure out in true public-private partnerships if we can attract private capital in order to accelerate projects and, in proper cases, save money that can be used for other projects down the road. I'm going to skip through some of these because the board is familiar with the fact that initially you gave us six projects to look at. We have since added two further ones, one of which my colleague identified earlier, the Highway Bundle, and another, the Sepulveda Project. We've now virtually completed the business cases for all of those. And to make a long story short, the three transit projects were done first because, as in all projects, we are captive of the environmental process. And so all this work has been done preparatory to the environmental being done and then implement PPP in appropriate context. As it happens, the three transit projects were really recommended for design build or some form of that rather than PPP, and that is principally because they are by and large parts of other systems, and therefore separating the maintenance and the operations is really not a feasible idea to get the savings that we want, although the business cases have been done, as in all of the PPP work, a large part of it is usable and useful for the project proper in any event. We have now also completed the strategic analysis and the business cases now for all the three highway projects, and those are really the guts of things. It appears that all three of the highway projects are very significantly helped by a PPP approach, as are two further projects, the Highway Bundle Project and the Sepulveda Project. Those business plan recommendations are contained in a number of the appendices to the report and the further ones that will be coming out within the next week or so. By way of interest, I think it's important to understand that there's tremendous industry interest. We just recently put out a feeler for an industry forum for the Highway Bundle projects, and as of today, I just got an email. We have over 120 respondents to that. There's an enormous appetite for this kind of work. The positive is that, as Doug indicated earlier, instead of doing these projects in 2020 and later, we can start them now, essentially give the people the benefit of those transportation improvements, create jobs, get us working, and get those projects finished early. And that's really the whole idea, because it is, in fact, a delivery system. Be happy to answer any questions about individual projects and the progress we've made so far. But I wanted to give you the highlights, and again, in the interest of time, if there are any questions, I'd be more than pleased to answer. Separately, I've talked to a number of deputies, and they've expressed a real interest in having a separate forum. Sometimes it's difficult to get into the amount of detail and information necessary in the board meeting, and I think it would be helpful, and we're more than happy to do that, to have a forum where, of course, the directors are invited as well, but I think a number of the deputies would really like have expressed their interest to coming, and we're going to be doing that shortly.
That'll be great. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Just, I think that, the response is fascinating. I mean, it's just in terms of, it's an indication of we ought to be able to get some good prices also, given that kind of competition.
That's the real guts of it. That with that kind of competition, I think we're going to get some real competition on price, and that'll really be helpful.
And I assume also a big piece of this is the liability transfer as well. That's one of the other, I mean, almost more than price sometimes in terms of 3Ps, the liability transfer is huge.
I've always thought that. I think one of the things that public agencies, just because they are public agencies, have a lot of difficulty with is enforcing on-time performance and enforcing price. And if that those two elements are shifted to the private sector, I've always been fond of saying that I'd much rather have Goldman Sachs, who has $3 billion in a project, hammering on the contractor than us doing it and having it in a different forum. On-time performance and price both can be shifted, and we're planning on doing a significant amount of that in these contracts.
That would be interesting to see. I mean, I'm glad that it's taken us a long time to get to this point, so it would be nice to get some of these things on the street quickly, put some people to work.
Yes, sir.
This is a receive and file item. Thank you very much. We will receive and file.
Thank you.
And I forgot you again, so you still only get 1 minute. Dr. Williams? Yes, and there's another gentleman. There was no action required except receive and file, so.
Yep. I understand. We could request that it not be received and filed, because as a overall public-private partnership review and report, it shows a total disregard for the environmental considerations, especially for the State Route 710 North. We're quite concerned regarding the premature selection by the PPP of a highway project, whether it be underground or above ground, below ground, whatever ground. We're quite concerned about this because this prejudices the entire alternatives analysis that's going on right now. It's already been skewed by Caltrans and then by selection within the MTA without public input. I say we went from over 200 now down to 11 and now maybe one or two in the PPP. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience. Dr. Bill Sherman.
Dr. Bill Sherman, South Pasadena. I represent the No 710 Action Committee. Our members extend from Glendale to Pasadena to El Cerrito and adjacent communities. This report discusses the funding of a, quote, nominal tunnel project for the extension of the SR 710. Since the EIR-EIS process has barely begun and the alternative analysis is just starting, it is inappropriate to accept a report based on a project that does not exist. If indeed the EIR-EIS is truly an open process with no predetermined outcome, this report is prejudicial to CH2M Hill, which is performing the study. This is clearly a NEPA and a CEQA violation. There is currently a federal injunction on the SR-710 project that has been in place for 39 years. Our attorney advises us that this report makes the entire EIR-EIS legally vulnerable. Plans concerning the SR-710 North extension should be deleted from this report before it is received and filed. Thank you. I do have a letter stating the same thing, which I'd like to forward to the chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sepulveda Pass Corridor.
Good afternoon. Today we're asking you to receive and file this interim report on the Sepulveda Pass, which was formerly known as the San Fernando Valley I-405 connection. This project is the last of the 12 transit projects in the Measure R expenditure plan, and our long-range plan shows a delivery date of 2039. This project is currently undefined in terms of mode, length, and profile. We initiated a systems planning study earlier this year, which is the first step in the project identification process, to evaluate the range of possible concepts that could be implemented in this corridor. Dave Meager, our Deputy Executive Officer for Transit Corridors, will briefly go through the interim findings. We will be back this fall with the final report.
Thanks, Rini. Wanted to show a picture of the corridor we're looking at. The Sepulveda Pass itself is only about 8 miles if you go from just the north side of the mountains to the south side of the mountains around Sunset Boulevard. However, we have the opportunity with this corridor to connect a number of projects in the San Fernando Valley to a number of projects on the west side. As you look at the list there, the second bullet down, we have the two Metrolink lines in the San Fernando Valley, the East San Fernando Valley North-South Corridor, the Orange Line, and then south of the mountains we have the Subway Extension, Expo 2, Crenshaw LAX, the Airport Metro Connector, and the Metro Green Line. All of these are east-west routes or have east-west components that could be linked together with a north-south line that would connect all of them. We also want to emphasize that we currently have a project going on in the Sepulveda Pass. We're adding the northbound HOV lane, and that'll be open soon, so we're looking at what would happen after that project is completed. Just in terms of the travel demands in this corridor, if you review the Texas Transportation Institute's latest report, they rank this as the third most congested highway segment in the U.S. The congestion over the Sepulveda Pass is monumental with long rush hours in the morning and the evening. An interesting point of that is that about half the trips going through the pass either get on or get off between the 101 and the 10 freeways. So it's a bottleneck. It's a short segment with very, very high ons and offs in that bottleneck area of about 8 to 10 miles between the two freeways. In terms of congestion, we have a rapid bus in this corridor that runs from Van Nuys Government Center down towards UCLA. Current travel time on that is about 65 minutes to go 12 miles in the southbound direction in the morning. That's about 11 miles an hour. In the evening rush hour, it's about 74 minutes, about 9.7 miles per hour. So even our rapid buses in this corridor are not very rapid. What we've done in the study in the last 4 months since we started, we've taken a look at six different concepts for how we can improve transit and highway. And since we're in a freeway corridor, whatever we put out in terms of transit has to operate in a highway environment. So we're looking at concepts that combine improvements on the highway and transit side. We have two lower-cost alternatives we'll show you in a second, and four higher-cost alternatives that include above ground and subway. There are the two lower-cost alternatives. We have precedents for where they've been done and where they could be done in this corridor. The picture here you see on the bottom left is in Minneapolis, where they use the shoulder of the freeway as a bus lane during the peak period. They're able to operate the buses through this congested segment. When the cars aren't moving, the buses can keep moving. This would be an option where we could take a bus off of the Orange Line, run through the Sepulveda Pass on the shoulder of the newly improved freeway, and then link it in with our bus routes south of the mountains. This is a concept for how we could connect that bus lane through the Sepulveda Pass to the East San Fernando Valley North-South Busway, BRT project on either Van Nuys or Sepulveda, and then hook it into a line that the City of LA is looking on Sepulveda to connect down to the airport. Second concept would be managed lanes. We currently have our demonstration project we're going to be opening later this year on the Harbor and the I-10 freeways, where we take two lanes in the middle and make those managed lanes, tolled lanes. This is examples in the upper right is the 10 freeway. 91 toll lanes been done between Riverside and Orange County and I-15 in San Diego County. These are all managed lanes that have been opened or are about to open. Under this concept, we could take this gap between the 10 and the 101 and put in two managed lanes in each direction. They would be high-occupancy toll lanes. Transit vehicles could operate in those lanes, and they could hook in with the Orange Line in the valley or the Van Nuys-Sepulveda route, and they could hook in with other bus routes south of the mountains. One concern people have had was, well, would we have to go through a widening of the Sepulveda Pass? Again, that's been a painful process in the current project. We don't want to do that. One concept, the very top cross-section is what was there before the current widening project. This is what we're currently building. We're adding the northbound HOV lane to the companion southbound HOV, and we're upgrading the lanes to full 12-foot widths. You could actually go back to the 11-foot widths that were there prior to the widening and actually create a room for two lanes in each direction without any further widening the freeway. You'd just be doing within the current widened roadway that's being created and create two managed lanes that could be tolled and could provide for express buses through the Sepulveda Pass. Caltrans has had a project report for a number of years. This is the alternative that was actually thrown out as a part of the current widening project, the aerial guideway. This is an I-5 down in Santa Ana. It is an option that's been carried for many, many years for the Sepulveda Pass, and we identified that it may not be feasible to significant environmental and engineering constraints, but we've carried it because it's part of the current Caltrans study, and it is certainly a more expensive option than at grade, but far, far less expensive than the subway options. We have 4, 5, and 6. These are three variations of tunnels going through the Sepulveda Pass. A highway tunnel, we looked around the country and around the world, and there are a number of large bore tunnels. Some are being considered here in L.A. for the 710 and other routes. This is one. This is the Seattle-Alaska Highway Viaduct Tunnel, which is currently under construction. It's 58 feet in diameter. It's about twice as large in size as the current subway tunnels that we have, and it can carry four lanes in a subway configuration. This is an option. The minimum length of such a tunnel would be about 10 miles if we try to go from somewhere near Ventura Boulevard down to south of Sunset or near Wilshire. The big challenge of this is the cost and the idea of where you would bring these subways up to the surface. Rail tunnels have also been proposed, and this would be something that could hook in with our light rail line in the Expo line, could turn north and go up into the valley. This is an example from our Gold Line, and this has actually been advocated by several of the transit coalition groups and supporters of a tunnel through the mountains. Again, very costly, but it could link together with a number of other projects. And finally, the sort of the granddaddy, the most expensive, longest-term solution, however, one that the PPP folks have been looking at, would be a combined transit and highway tunnel where the tolls from the toll lanes would help fund the overall funding on top of what we already have through Measure R, and it would be a combination of either two tunnels or one combined tunnel, and this is a concept for how that would operate through this corridor. Just a couple of wrap-up slides. Again, Rainey said we're only about halfway through this. In terms of cost per mile, the lower cost alternatives range from $12 million to $120 million per mile for the at-grade solutions. The subway alternatives range from $500 million a mile up to $1 billion a mile, as in the case of the Alaska Highway Viaduct. So a 10-mile tunnel at $1 billion a mile, you start to see the cost of this getting up there. The blue bars here are what we have in the long-range transportation plan, about $2.4 billion over the 30 years, and the red bars are the costs of comparable projects that have been built with public agencies. And again, emphasize that the PPP can sometimes deliver projects at lower costs than agencies that deliver them around the country. Just a wrap-up slide, we, over the next 4 months, we'll be wrapping up the study. We'll be coming back in October to the board to give the wrap-up of the technical merits of each of these options, and we'll be working with the public-private partnership teams to look at optional delivery methods for any of these alternatives. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Any questions or
public comment, Dr. Williams.
I'll pass. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no objections, we'll receive and file the report. Item 15, regional rail update.
Good afternoon. The news is it's a brief one. Don Sepulveda, Executive Officer, Regional Rail, Metro. coming to you with our monthly report on regional rail and where we're what we're up to in Los Angeles County. Real briefly, we're continuing to work with High Speed Rail on developing some corridor solutions in Southern California. We've actually instituted and become a real part of both Southern California and statewide planning efforts to interconnect all the rail transit systems in the state so they all start working together as a complete statewide system, and it's working very well. We're remodeling actually the Southern California region to actually work with the blended approach for High Speed Rail, and of good news for everybody is that the High Speed Rail Authority has actually appointed Jeff Morales as the new CEO. He's a forward-thinking person, a partner builder, so this actually may be it is a new era for High Speed Rail, which is a good sign. Losan Corridor, the legislation is moving forward. It's off the Senate floor, and we're moving on. The CEOs have been actually working together to discuss governance and have worked out the governance issues. Some of those governance issues were actually resolved at the board meeting on Monday. And by the way, there is a similar parallel effort in the San Joaquin Valley with the San Joaquin's service. This is probably going to be the crux of my report here today, and giving you an update on the Hollywood Way station at Bob Hope Airport. We're calling it a Bob Hope Airport station is confusing with the Ventura Line station that's called the Bob Hope station, so this long term is good for the time being. We have been working on this as part of the Antelope Valley study, and we've been working closely with Bob Hope Airport staff, and it's been linked with their ground access study. And it is an important regional rail leak, and fits nicely with what the airport's been doing as far as their regional connectivity. We have developed some initial concepts. This is something as what it would look like. It can be phased in two phases, a single track and a double track. If you look at the upper left-hand corner of the screen, I know we've got an engineer who didn't put a north arrow in his drawing, but upper left-hand corner of the screen there is north. The west side platform would be the first one installed, and that would match up with the existing track and work well with the existing system. Should we decide to double track, actually, and let me finish with that for a second. It actually involves little or no modifications to the existing track and works very well for us from a cost and efficiency standpoint. If we look at a phase two option, that would build the next platform if we should double track through that valley, which is what we're going to be looking at next. You'll hear about more of that next month. If we double track through the valley, we'd have to build an additional bridge over Hollywood Way, which is the lower right-hand corner, in order to make this work, but it looks like that would have to happen anyway, whether there was a station there or not. So this is what we need to do is advance these concepts. This is the one that's shaken out to be the most promising because it allows the most flexibility without do-over. So as you heard earlier, the Airport Commission did adopt a resolution to allocate $1.75 million in grant funding for this project. We are going to actually advance this further for the environmental clearance and engineering. And as we move forward and do the final clearances on this, it looks like we can actually begin construction on this thing in late spring of next year, which is a very good concept. That being said, real quickly, the Metrolink board did approve a 7% average fare increase for Metrolink. Our portion of the Metrolink budget will be in front of the next committee of the board this month. And on the good side, the ridership is up 8% over fiscal year 2011 with Metrolink, so that is very good. And we're working with Metrolink to move forward their aggressive rehabilitation schedule as far as fleet management and actual infrastructure. And in conclusion, we are continuing to coordinate and interface with Metrolink and Metro. We're meeting with Metrolink regularly. We're really strong partners with them, and we appreciate that. We're also working with the other partner agencies and other matters throughout the county, and we're continuing to work with Caltrans and Amtrak regarding some regional rail issues. And next month, we'll be coming to you with additional ideas on capital projects for L.A. County. And with that, if there's any questions.
Or comments? Thank you. We do have some public comment. Dr. Williams.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. Get on rail. That's a great saying. We have it in the Sierra Club. Get on rail. We're quite supportive of most of all of this that has been done. And we're trying to look forward to the California high-speed rail system and how it will enter Union Station. We're still quite concerned regarding that gap from Bakersfield to Los Angeles, or actually from Glendale into Union Station. We want it underground. It's already been partially put underground. There's no reason why it shouldn't be fully underground. And how would that influence the design of the Union Station here? So there are some links that if it goes high-speed rail into Union Station, how will it come? Will it go underground or above ground? And then there's the east side. Where will it go there? Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. No objections. We'll receive and file. And gentlemen, our work is done. Meeting's adjourned. It didn't say so on my agenda.
What?
Oh, he tells me he has a report.
Just real quickly, Madam Chair, members, I just want to let you know that it's a preview for the year-end report we're going to give. We're going to break 100 million boardings on the rail lines this year. We have about a 6% increase. In fact, this year we have the highest ridership ever on the green, blue, and gold lines, and the red line will match its previous high of, that was achieved in 2010. We also have an increase, although smaller, on the bus lines. But I think what this reflects is the increased maintenance we're putting in, the focus on maintenance and landscaping and better headways that we're running. So with that, I'll close. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay. That's the third time I've heard you say that today. You must really be proud of that.
Dr. Williams, did you have any comments?
On item 16.
Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. It's public comment. Signed up for public comment. There it is.
For public comment. The experience of the alternatives analysis for the State Route 710 program. The basic problem is that if you ask most of the, quote, communities, you'll find that when you ask them, do you trust MTA or Caltrans? The answer is generally no. We can't trust them. The entire alternatives analysis for the State Route 710 began someplace in Caltrans. Over 200 different alternatives were indicated over a 200-square-mile area. However, it actually came down to about only 70 square miles, and that's only in one corridor, east of San Fernando Road and west of Atlantic Boulevard. So we're quite concerned about how MTA's image is being squandered in this whole process. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for your patience today. I'll try to follow the agenda better in the future. Having said that, I believe there's nothing else on the agenda, so we are adjourned.